Starting next month, a new state office is preparing to take testimony from members of the public. It's called the Vermont Truth and Reconciliation Commission, and it was formed after lawmakers apologized for the state's role in the eugenics movement. And it has a really broad scope, so broad that it's raised some concerns. And here to tell us more about it is reporter Lexi Krupp. Hey, Lexi.
Hey, Mitch.
So, first of all, what is a Truth and Reconciliation Commission, and why was one created here?
So let's back up to 3 years ago. There's this special hearing at the State House where lawmakers issue an apology.
Thank you all so much for joining us here today as we reflect and acknowledge a shameful time in our state's history.
So the Speaker of the State House, Representative Jill Krawinski, makes this public apology for the state's role in the eugenics movement.
For those that were directly impacted, for their descendants, and for all the communities involved, we cannot undo the trauma that this moment has caused, but we can start.
And so what is she actually referring to there?
So, Mitch, I'm a science reporter here, and this is actually how I got interested in this story, because eugenics was this big idea that scientists got really wrong with terrible consequences. Eugenics was this pseudoscience that became popular about 100 years ago. It's this racist belief that society could be improved through selective breeding. I went to a lecture about this at the University of Vermont, where a couple of historians have looked into what this looked like here. And here's Mercedes de Guardiola speaking to the crowd.
And the point was to essentially show people that some people had bad genes and did not deserve to reproduce.
And again, this quote-unquote science was total bogus.
They were overly reliant on Mendelian inheritance laws, which basically it's genes that are dominant or recessive. You may have done those Putnam squares in school. This is not how human genetics works.
So there's this false idea that's really common across the country, and Vermont was no exception, that said some people have bad genes. So this pseudoscience catches on and becomes policy in Vermont to segregate kids and adults at state institutions. And then lawmakers passed this law in 1931, legalizing voluntary sterilization for eugenical reasons. And sterilizations take place here.
Wow, that is really a lot to process there, Lexi. So state lawmakers acknowledge this terrible history. Then when does the Truth and Reconciliation Commission come into this?
A few months after that public apology in 2022, lawmakers create this Truth and Reconciliation Commission to begin to redress some of the harm from these policies. So they said, you know, we want to go beyond just saying we're sorry, we want to do something. And they give this commission pretty significant resources. Now it has 6 staff members and a budget next year of over $1 million. And just a quick note here, these commissions are more common outside of the U.S. They're state-sponsored groups that act independently to investigate human rights abuses or crimes perpetuated by governments. So maybe the most famous example of this is the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of South Africa, which was established in 1995 to hold hearings with victims and perpetrators of apartheid. And there have been a bunch of truth commissions in over 40 countries, also in Canada and states like Maine and Maryland. And the fact that Vermont said, hey, we're going to make one of these too and fund it, is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, it sounds like one. And Lexi, you've said this commission is a bit different in scope than some of the other examples you talked about. How is it different?
So this is sort of the paradox of this whole thing. We have this public apology, but in the law that created the commission, there's no mention of the history of eugenics. Instead, the law says the commission should create a public record of discrimination perpetuated by state laws and policies, and specifically discrimination experienced by 4 groups. That's people who identify as Native American or Indigenous, people with disabilities and their families, Franco-Americans, and Black Vermonters and other people of color. So the commission doesn't have a specific time frame they're supposed to be investigating. There's no specific crimes. It's really open-ended.
Huh. So it's this sort of open-ended look at all these terrible things, but eugenics not specifically mentioned. How is all this going for the Truth and Reconciliation Commission?
Well, the first few months were sort of rough. It took them a while to just try to figure out how to approach this big task they were given. One of the leaders stepped down, and Commissioner said this work has really taken an emotional toll. But they came up with this mission statement to seek justice for these four specific groups. And it seems like the commission has embraced this wide-ranging vision. During a series of public meetings over the past year, they said investigating everything from a traffic stop of a Hasidic Jewish family to restraint and seclusion practices in public schools to the practice of slavery in early Vermont would all fall within their work. I spoke with Mia Schultz, one of the commissioners, about this earlier this month.
We're going to continue to use our intentionality, open the space for everybody to speak, everybody to tell their truths as much as we can, given the scope and the seemingly impossible scope that we've been given.
Interesting. So what's happening right now?
So they are really starting one of the central parts of their work, which is taking public testimony. People can give testimony online starting next month, and then in person this spring starting in May.
And I realize it's early so far, Lexi, but has there been a response that you've seen to this so far?
Yeah, there are a couple concerns. Number one is this big scope, which again, the legislature set for the commission, and the commission has embraced with its mission statement. And there's this concern that some of the families most impacted by eugenics in Vermont are going to get lost here. Number two is this concern about mischaracterizing who was impacted by the eugenics movement in Vermont.
And who's saying that?
The Abenaki First Nations of Odinak and Willinak have said they're worried the commission will perpetuate a narrative about Abenaki peoples in Vermont, that they were hiding their identities out of fear of being persecuted by eugenical practices. Vermont Public has investigated this theory and did not find evidence to support it. In a statement in response to this concern, commissioners wrote, quote, "Our role isn't to make final judgments on disputed identities or historical viewpoints."
Well, Lexi, thank you so much for telling us all about this. It's really interesting.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.